John the Baptist had a ministry that was so important that all four writers of the Gospels saw fit to put it into their Gospel story. John was known as the forerunner of Jesus, the one who announced, who came before. And I'd like to just look briefly at his ministry this evening. I didn't hear the message that Dr. Smith preached about the religion of John the Baptist 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, I was down suffering in 80 degree temperature down in Florida at that time. But if I coincide, it's a miracle. If I don't, why, it's a miracle too. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet, but he came largely with the message of the prophet Isaiah. Before we look into the Gospels, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah is the message which John came preaching. And I'm just going to take the time. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture, but I'd just like to read all these Scriptures that pertain. But from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." This message is the message that John preached. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make a highway for the King to come. And even though it seems fruitless and it seems as though the people are grass and it doesn't make any sense, the word of God is sure. Then from the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, and I have in mind all four of these Gospels, I'll be referring briefly to Matthew's Gospel. It won't be a long sermon, but it's a long introduction. From St. John, the first chapter, verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou a prophet? And he answered, No. He was a humble man, for he truly was a prophet. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, we open our hearts before the scrutiny of your word tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And as we deliberately ask you to come with revival, as we deliberately say we want to prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts, we pray, Lord, that you will show earnest hearts here tonight, those that are nearest to you, those that are Christians, those that love you, show them how to prepare the way of the Lord until we can see a moving of the Spirit and a mighty revival, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John's amazingly relevant as we look forward to a time of revival and renewal. And just briefly, I think the outline is probably in your worship folder if you have one. I just want to look at these three aspects. John's peculiar appearance. Maybe that's not a vital part of the message this evening and not of vital importance, but I think it has something to say. And then John's single-minded purpose, speaking about the spirit of revival. And then John's message, speaking about the price of revival, if we could call it that. First of all, the peculiar appearance of John, speaking to us about the form of revival. Matthew tells us in the third chapter of John, the fourth verse, that John had a raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and tells us that his meat was locusts and wild honey. Some people tell us he was an Essene, one of the early ascetics. I don't know whether that's true or not, or whether it's even relative. But the idea was, John was not your run-of-the-mill, suave, polished, city-slicker type preacher. He was so odd that Matthew takes the time to record the fact. Number one, he's telling us that he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, who himself was a very rugged preacher of the gospel. But also telling us about the strange appearance of John the Baptist. And I said this may not be of vital importance, but it says something to me about the form and yet the content of revival. You know, both form and content are very much part of all our endeavors. We're concerned sometimes with how we do things as well as what we're doing as we do it. And particularly in religious endeavors. And very often it's easy for us to get the form and the content mixed up. I love certain ways of doing things. And you know, the right way to worship the Lord is the old-fashioned Nazarene way, of course. That's the way I feel, you see. Because I was brought up that way, I'm comfortable in that type of a form. And yet it's possible for us to give such total allegiance to a form that we fail to recognize when someone comes along with a vital message, a vital content for us from God. And I'm just concerned that we listen for the Spirit wherever He wants to speak and however He wants to speak to us. We tend to feel that everyone has to look or to do or to say as we feel they ought to do and say. And I've wondered myself at times. It's so easy for us with the perspective of 19 centuries to look back and say, oh, I would have understood. I would have recognized Jesus, or I would have known that John was right. And yet perhaps the appearance of Jesus might have been different than we suppose. And our prejudice for certain ways of doing things may shut us out from hearing God's message. Maybe I'm speaking to some older people tonight in terms of our evangelist, because our evangelist is a very young man and speaks in the idiom of youth. And, you know, sometimes he turns older people off. I don't mean to prejudice you against him or for him. I just know, for example, my mother said to me, you know, Russell, I'd never vote for a pastor that had a mustache. I said, well, Mama, you'll never vote for me anyway. But it's easy for, sometimes we say, well, how can they possibly be a man of God? Or how could they possibly give us the word of God? Until we get like Archie Bunker, you know, until you've got to do it this way or not at all. Whatever John's peculiar appearance may have signified, it tells us that the method is not as important as the content, but the integrity and the scriptural fidelity of the message we receive is all important. That's why it's important that we know the Bible, that we live in the Bible, that we are aware of what God's Word says, And then when we hear scriptural truth preached in the power of the Spirit, it resonates with our heart. And we say, this is God's word for me. I don't know about you, but I want to open my heart up. As revival draws near, it was a different thing for me to hear H.B. London and his God bag and different things that he did. And it was a stretching exercise for me. And yet how I appreciate that form and how I appreciate the ministry that Brother London gave us. And I just feel that God is going to come maybe in ways that will surprise us. I'm not suggesting that our evangelist is going to have a peculiar appearance, and don't you ever tell him I said so. And I said this wasn't the most important point. Let me look at the two points that are important, though. I look at the single-minded purpose of John and what we must have as a spirit of preparing the way for the Lord. John was not interested in promoting John the Baptist. They came to him and said, who are you? Are you the important person that's predicted? Elijah's supposed to come before Messiah comes. Are you that prophet? And Jesus himself declared that John was the prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah. John said, no, don't look at me. Well, are you a great prophet? No. Who are you? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. And John's purpose was to lift up Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's an interesting verse there, isn't it? He said, there's one standing among you. Verse 26 of 1 John, or of John, the first chapter. There's one standing right there among you that you're not recognizing. John's purpose was to lift up the unrecognized Jesus and then to say, behold the Lamb of God. When Jesus is lifted up, when people are willing to look away from personality, although personality is a tool, a sacred tool, but when Jesus is lifted up and when people proclaim him, revival begins. And John was an authentic person. He insisted on integrity. The gospel writers tell us that when people came out and said, we'd like to get on the bandwagon, we'd like for you to baptize us, take us into membership, he said, oh, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits that are meet for repentance. John insisted on integrity. He says, make your life agree with your mouth, or don't profess to have faith. John didn't know all the answers to. That's another thing. John, according to his own way, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. John kind of faded out of the picture. I like to read about him, for in prison, he sent back and he said, I need some reassurance. Things aren't going so good with me now. Are you really the one that I proclaimed? I haven't seen anything happen yet. Jesus said, go back and tell him the work is being done. People are being healed. God is moving. And blessed is he that's not offended in me. John said, all right, I'm satisfied. And then Jesus bragged on John. He said, he's faithful. He's one who has been true, a man of integrity. The single-minded purpose of John, not to promote himself, but to lift up Jesus. I suggest to you this evening that this is the spirit of revival. If we want to see God have his way in our hearts, if we want to see God have his way in our community, then we must say, behold the Lamb of God. And I ask you, Christian, this evening, will you lift up Jesus? Will you ask God to help you lift up Jesus in your own heart and life these next few days? And then finally, the message of John that blends with the spirit and purpose of John. But beyond just lifting up Jesus, which was John's main purpose, John had a vital content to his preaching. And I've broken this into two pieces, two parts. First of all, John raised expectation. He said, let's not be satisfied with a yesterday kind of faith. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there cometh one after me who is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the message of God, or of John, was to raise expectations until the people were not satisfied to just go on at a poor, dead, dying rate. Now I suggest to you this evening that if we see revival, we'll ask God the Holy Spirit to bring a divine discontent into our hearts until yesterday's blessings won't suffice. Until we say, praise God for what he's done and for what he's doing. But I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John didn't want his hearers satisfied with empty tradition, with a yesterday kind of faith. And then secondly, John preached a gospel of separation. Verse 12 would be immediately understood by the people that heard him. I have to explain it a little bit to some of us. But he goes on to say, this one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost has his fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And the fan was a means of winnowing, of separating. The message of John was that God comes to separate his people. John saw Jesus as one who would demand a difference, a God who would separate life from non-life. And the difference between wheat and chaff, they may look alike, but the difference is that kernel of life. If we're going to see revival, we're going to have to accept the message of separation. And I see this in two parts itself. There has to be a willingness to separate from selfishness and sin. Anyone who tries to be a Christian and still deliberately breaks any, the least of God's holy commandments, is living a lie. We can't have revival and at the same time compromise and rationalize and live less than a holy, dedicated, separated life. We can't compromise with sin. And so John preached a separation and said, bring forth fruits that are meet for repentance. There has to be a willingness to separate before we ever see personal revival. But then also, I believe that real revival is an awakening to the reality of the fact that there will be an eternal separation. It's an awakening to the fact that this life is not just a game, it's for real. And that a life that's lived apart from all that God would have us to be is a life that one day will end in eternal separation from God and from life. And this was the message of John. Jesus is coming. He's coming to separate life from death. He's coming to make a difference. Prepare the way of the Lord and get on the side of life. As I think of this message of separation, I think of a number of the messages Jesus himself gave. Told about wise and foolish virgins, alike in appearance. And yet when the bridegroom came, five were taken and five were left. And the difference was the presence of the burning lamps, the oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Anyone proclaiming revival today, I suppose, is just as odd as John the Baptist was in his day. The kind of message I'm preaching tonight, if you proclaimed it on the main streets of Quincy, most of the people wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. And some that did would think I was just as crazy as John the Baptist appeared. But I want to tell you tonight, you know what I'm talking about. And the need is great. And Jesus is already among us. This message is here. John is saying, there standeth one among you that you know not. Behold the Lamb of God. And I want to ask you this evening, will you prepare the way of the Lord? This was the cry. You make the highway. You fill in the gaps. You say, Lord, come. I tell you, as you do prepare your heart, the King will come in His glory, in His power. Oh, it's the cry of my heart. It goes deeper than I can articulate tonight. But that God wants to give us an old-fashioned revival, a moving of the Holy Spirit. And it will come when I and when you heed this message with single-minded purpose to lift up Jesus in our lives, to quit compromising and playing around with sin, and to say, Lord, come and give us this revival that we need.